Welcome to the Clear Shots Podcast with Seth Skinner and Jake Jones.
Hey guys, it's Seth here from Clear Shots, and you are about to hear part two of episode 53, so please enjoy. Is that supposed to be a
song? Yeah. Working at the car wash.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever listened to that song. There's a lot of songs that like they play it at sports games.
Quite a bit of them are Steve Miller Band too.
Yeah.
Jungle Love is driving me mad. He's making me crazy. You ever heard that one?
Yeah, I think so.
We still have Jean Lajoie or whatever. Jean Lajoie.
Is that where he got big? Was from that?
That and the league.
Because he wasn't on the league until after, like way after that.
It was Show Me Your Genitals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and E equals MC Vagina.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I had seen that video before the league came out, and I saw the league, and I was like, "Who is that? I've seen him before." And
he's the league is a great show. I wish it didn't have to end.
Yeah, I don't know why it ended. I mean, I felt like they had a pretty good slot on FX, didn't they?
The problem with the league was that, like, a few seasons in, it stopped really being about fantasy football.
Right, yeah. It definitely
did. The fantasy football part was like an afterthought. They tried doing like the backstories, and they like killed. Didn't they kill Ruxin's wife? Like, I'm pretty sure she dies. I'm almost positive that happens.
I don't remember, but I know that. I mean, they throughout all the seasons they were doing, like, it would still have the idea of like whoever was the champ from last season was the guy that everybody was targeting, basically.
Yeah.
Because the first season, I think Ruxin was the champ. And, like, the first episode opened with, like a video chat thing for the message board, like the league message board.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because they do, like, all the different drafts. Like, they do the drafts at a different place every year and shit. The show was good. I mean, I think it's still, it turned into basically just a sitcom is what it turned into. But that's because the characters were developed well.
Yeah.
I felt like the characters were good. I felt like the show was written well. But, yeah, it did definitely have less of a football situation.
Yeah, and a lot of people think, you know, it's, what is it, flanderization, where the characters become caricatures of themselves. But I really felt like the characters were consistent the whole series. It was just the plots became really stupid.
I didn't notice that much of a change as far as characters go.
Like, you could pull up a clip from season one and season seven and think it was the same.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, it's not like, even Sonny did it. Like Sweet D was like never the way she is now in the first season. She was like the voice of reason, basically. Like, she was kind of just supposed to bring everybody back to Earth. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the idea. But they developed. Even Charlie got progressively, like, crazier. I think it happens with most shows. Animated shows are the ones that don't do that as much, I think. Because I think with animated shows, they're already, those characters are already turned up to 11. So, like, you don't have as much of a like a difference from season one to season six or seven or whatever. South Park like felt that way. Like it didn't seem like the characters changed too much.
Yeah, I would say South Park felt the same.
I think with an animated show, they're just naturally that way. They're already like shot to the moon as far as
I would say. There's definitely a consistent tone of South Park up until they turn Cartman into like the evil genius. Which, knowing Matt and Trey, knowing their work, they were probably planning that from the get-go.
Having
Cartman be a side character and with funny quotes, and then all of a sudden, Scott Tenorman episode, have him be...
He was like... Well, he was kind of the main character of the first... What was the first episode? Was that the one of the... with the
anal probe.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. It's weird to... That show's kind of changed a little bit over the years, like as far as whose role is more important. Because there's not really a main character.
No.
Like, Stan is kind of the main character. Like, that's what I get from it, is that Stan is sort of the...
It's almost like every episode has a different main character. Yeah. But I would say probably the constants are always...
It seems to me like Stan is where it's grounded.
Yeah.
The most. Like, he's the most, like, relatable.
Stan, I think Stan is supposed to be the character that the viewer puts themselves into the position of. Sometimes. Other times it's Kyle. I don't think anybody is ever supposed to empathize with Cartman.
Yeah.
I think Randy is another one that people are supposed to project themselves into.
Yeah.
I think Randy is the best character
Randy
on that show.
Randy has evolved the most.
Randy has definitely evolved the most.
Like, he used to just be a geologist, and, like, they would barely even talk about him, really. And then all of a sudden, he's, like, getting ball cancer and bouncing around.
He's got to be the best character, honestly. Like, if I know the episode, if I go to turn on South Park and I know Randy is the central character, I know it's about to be a really good time.
Right. Yeah, that's. I think that is definitely the character that's...
And at the same time, you know, that's what I like about Sunny is that there's no main character in each episode. No. Like, each episode, everybody's always in every episode.
Yeah, the gang is the main character.
Yeah.
And they also go separate ways, and they follow each storyline.
Yeah.
And each storyline always ends up meeting up at some point.
For sure. Scrubs was really good at that. Scrubs was amazing at that. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you certainly, I mean, JD's obviously.
Is obviously the main character.
Yeah.
But
you definitely get separate storylines, for sure.
The best episodes were where, my favorite episodes of Scrubs were ones where Kelso was focused on. Because he's my favorite character in the whole series. Dr. Kelso is the best character, in my opinion.
Besides the janitor.
Yeah, the janitor is up there, too. Jan Etor, where he marries that woman lady. Yeah. Oh, you have a fiance? What's her name? Lady. Yeah, okay. You know, she's a bombshell. A bombshell named Lady.
Is it on Hulu still or no?
I don't know. I don't have Hulu anymore.
It's got to be on something, right? Maybe on Netflix.
You know what show? Did I talk about this Friday?
I can't believe your ears making that much noise.
Yeah.
It was like
did I talk about Billy and Mandy on Friday?
Yeah, the Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy.
Such a good show.
And also Grim and Evil.
Such a good show. Dude, Billy and Mandy is legendary. I finally finished it. And I'm rewatching it all.
I don't think I've seen all of it.
It's such a great show. Like, it's not even a nostalgia thing. It's just like it's so fucking absurd.
Yeah.
It's a very absurd Cartoon Network show.
Yeah, it is.
In the same vein as Courage, in my opinion. But Courage was a lot darker. Billy and Mandy's just very...
I haven't even seen every episode of Courage. I feel like I should.
I feel like there's not even that many episodes of Courage.
No, I don't
think
there
only
like
30?
There
can't be that
many.
They only
did...
Yeah, let me look that up.
Which is weird. I mean, I feel like that show probably had a following.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird because there's a lot of shows that did have a following that just kind of died. Even Invader Zim had a following. It was all those goth girls, right? They would all wear the Invader Zim shirt.
I liked Invader Zim until I met other people who liked Invader Zim.
Right, yeah.
It's a good show still, though.
It's one of those things where the fan base is
kind of... I'm going to sing the new song now. You know, it's like the zany random.
Rick and Morty's getting killed.
The zany random people. Rick and Morty.
They're getting killed by their fan base, too, I think.
Well, it's not even that. The quality has dropped. I watched
season, I didn't think it was that great in the first place. I don't know.
I watched season one, and it. What I liked when I first watched it was that it was...
All the Rick and Morty listeners are tuning out right now.
Yeah, that's fine. Fuck them. it's their bedtime anyway.
No, I...
But what I liked about Rick and Morty when it first came out was that it was... Rick was this super scientist that had basically... He was such a good scientist, it was magic. But it was like a parody of Back to the Future.
It's pretty clear that
it's pretty clearly a parody of Back to the Future and also... other movies and other
in the genre
things.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like when they did the fucking Jurassic Park parody, the Anatomy Park, and it was an amusement park where you get shrunk down to like a microscopic level and you go around an amusement park in a guy's body. That's a fucking funny concept. Yeah. And then the whole time that story is going on, in the background, you have like the rest of the family having like a really stressful Christmas, like get together.
Right. Then, I mean, they definitely aren't shitty writers.
No,
I think it's just there's not a lot to it to grab onto for me. I don't feel like it really pulls me in and makes me want to watch it more.
Yeah. It's definitely a turn on if I'll watch if it's on kind of show.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like if you're scrolling through Adult Swim and you don't have anything to watch and Rick and Morty's on, that's a good show to just tune into.
Yeah.
Kind of like Futurama. Futurama's a good show.
Or I just turn off the TV.
Yeah.
And watch it.
Like, honestly, like, the first season of Rick and Morty was phenomenal. The second season was all right. Then the third one, they tried way too much to, like, keep a...
They had a fan base, and they knew they had it, and they knew what their appeal was. So they, like, they focused in on that fan base specifically, I think.
Yeah, and they just made, like, instead of having the show being about, you know, Rick and Morty going on crazy adventures, it became Rick and Morty doing the same shit they're always doing in this, like, everything's in the same vein of previous, it's all callbacks.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like this, the third season was all, like, a clip show.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like to
me.
That's
what I mean.
That's what it felt like to me.
They're catering to their audience that they've already established.
You know, it was all callbacks and just, you know, boring.
I mean, I guess if you have a big enough fan base already, it's not that bad to cater to them, right?
Yeah. Like, I remember watching it when it first came out and watching it, you know, and being like, wow, this is crazy. You know, this hasn't been done before. Like a sci-fi adventure comedy that's kind of gross.
Yeah. Except for Jimmy Neutron.
And raunchy. Yeah. And then it turned into like almost a parody of itself, I guess.
Yeah, it did.
Instead of being a parody of the stuff it was trying to make fun of.
Yeah, they went meta, dude.
I guess that's the best way to put it. Rick and Morty went meta really fast, and I don't know. I think it's still a good show. I definitely don't think it's as good as it used to be, and I definitely don't understand people that walk around with Rick and Morty merch.
Right, yeah.
It's the new Invader Zim. I think you were spot on.
It kind of is, yeah. I don't know. That's it's almost a cult following in a way.
Yeah, a giant one, but a cult one nonetheless. Because a lot of people that don't watch it,
they're also all trolls, like all of them, like Rick and Morty fans, it seems like. I never just got into it. I never saw like what was the...
Like, you know how Aqua Teen doesn't really have a plot?
They also, like, Aqua Teen is crazy because every episode's got a new character and, like, they all have a different vibe.
Yes, that's what I was getting at.
And all the established characters are, like, the same, and they always go through the same bullshit, but
it's funny.
A different scenario.
It's still funny every time.
Yeah.
With Rick and Morty, the first season felt like Aqua Teen, where each episode was a brand new thing, brand new characters.
Yeah.
Stuff they hadn't done before. And then they were like, you know what? Let's just keep doing that. Let's do the same shit we've been doing.
Right.
You know?
They kind of, I don't know. I think you wear it out a little bit sometimes.
Yeah. I definitely think Aqua Teen's the best show that Adult Swim's ever had.
Yeah. The thing was, like, I don't understand. I can't put my finger on what it is that didn't wear Aqua Teen out in comparison to what Rick and Morty was doing.
Yeah.
You know, they seem very similar in their, like, the way they approached it. But I felt like Aqua Teen just, like, it just kept going for so long that, like, it didn't even matter. Because at that point, you were just watching it because you knew it was going to be something good. It, no matter what, really.
Yeah, there's not a bad... I can't
they
think
didn't really
a
fuck
bad
any
episode,
of it up. Yeah. I mean, I can sit there and watch all of it.
You know what it might have been? Was the dynamic between the three characters.
The dynamic definitely helps, for
that,
sure.
That was perfect. Because, like... You knew what to expect from each of them, but still every episode it seemed like one of them would always surprise you.
Yeah. Like, you have Frylock, who's, like, grounded and, like, trying to be the guy who brings everybody back to Earth, but also there's episodes where Frylock goes off the rails.
Like when he fucking tries to get all the guts.
Yeah, yeah.
He tries to turn into that guy, and he has, like, the fake legs and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely a few where he goes off the rails. And those are the ones that get out of hand because the other two can't do anything about it. Like, Meatwad is probably the next best, like, established.
Like, I love the episodes that are just Carl, like, with the sirens.
Yeah.
My fucking car!
That's got to be in such an easy show to animate.
Oh, my God. It's got to be. In comparison to other shows, definitely. But it still looks so clean.
Yeah,
that really is. It's probably one of my favorite shows, just because it was just so easy to watch.
Yeah,
a lot of it.
Yes. Yeah, it's also a short episode too. Like the format,
10 minutes.
Yeah.
Right.
So like,
see, and that's what you know. It's definitely another quantity over quality thing. But I've said it before. Robot Chicken is like that.
Yeah. Well, I used to just get really high and watch Aqua Teen because it was fast paced.
Yep.
Like. Your episodes are done real quick. You could watch like 40 episodes in a night with no problem.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And
you could
just,
too,
because
you could watch 6 episodes an hour, essentially.
Yeah.
You do that for
it
a few hours.
Even...
Like, I'd love like getting fucked up and watching Aqua Teen while I do other shit.
Yeah.
Watch Aqua Teen and play Call of Duty, or watch Aqua Teen and play Madden or 2K or whatever.
Because the animation isn't, like, a huge part of it.
No. It's really the...
All the explosions, though. That's why you want
it's the best part, where they throw,
they're
like
hyper-realistic explosions.
They throw, like, a newspaper on the ground, and it blows up. Yeah.
The house is on fire in, like, every episode,
yeah.
Basically.
No, that show was magic. That really was.
Yeah.
I really liked Harvey Birdman a lot. I loved Metalocalypse.
Yeah, it's weird that Adult Swim doesn't have those coming up. They don't... It seems like their newer animated shows don't catch on.
No.
And that was honestly like the prime was back then. Like, Metalocalypse even kind of died out a little bit too.
Yeah. The rock opera fucking sucked, honestly. Like the movie they did or whatever.
I didn't see that.
The death opera.
I watched like the first 2 seasons and basically stopped watching because I didn't know when it was on.
Yeah.
It was at like a quarter after midnight or some shit. Like a...
yeah,
like weird time slot, 12:45 or something.
It was,
I think,
something sketchy. I binge watched quite a bit of Squidbillies actually, and
I only watched it once when I was on mushrooms.
That show
with John.
That show is so weird, but it's
weird.
It's really good, honestly. The humor is great. It's hard to watch.
It is.
That's
like,
a very hard show to watch.
See, that's the thing is those shows.
The art style is
built.
So strange.
They were built for people who are not sober.
Yeah.
Like they have an appeal to someone who's not sober. It's weird. Because if you're sober watching it, it's not the same.
Yeah.
You can get into it if you're not. Because Squidbillies always felt like it was just...
It felt like you were on mushrooms just watching
it. Yeah, exactly.
It's a bunch
That's why we did that. Because we were like, well, this is already... We're already on mushrooms watching this. We have mushrooms. That was like... I was in his basement and we just did that. Played Guitar Hero that night. I think that was the last time I saw him. That was forever ago. Back, I fucking miss the days where, like, you'd be, what the fuck?
I went up a Snapchat.
I miss when, like, it didn't used to have to be, like, I don't know. Way back in the day, we used to go play night tag and shit. It's like, that was, like, the thing to do, playing night tag or, like, fucking actually doing things, and I feel like kids don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like they're all fucking on their Instagrams instead, or they're on fucking Twitter or whatever. It's kind of a shame. Even at a certain point, I stopped doing that shit, but that's because we were playing Guitar Hero or fucking DDR. DDR was, like, really where it started, like, music-based fucking games and shit. And that shit brought a lot of people together because they were easy to access because they're just rhythm games, but also because you could do it with other people. And it was also a video game, so you, like, got into that sort of same, like, group of people, basically. It was weird. I felt like DDR brought a lot of people together, as weird as it sounds. And it also died off quick, too.
DDR died off as soon as Guitar Hero became a thing.
It died off really fast, and I don't understand why, because it's the same genre, but it's different, like, it's not really the
dancing
same
isn't as cool as guitars, dude.
I guess that's what it is.
It's gotta be.
I don't know. I liked it. I liked both of them, really. I was good at I was good at DDR, and I was good at Guitar Hero.
Yeah. I was definitely extremely bad at DDR. I was really good at Guitar Hero. I was awful at DDR.
See, I'd be in so much better shape if DDR was still a thing. Like, if you had MLG DDR, if I was just a Twitch streamer, like, doing DDR. Why doesn't anybody do that? Somebody's got to do it, right?
It's probably some girl with big tits.
Right. We should just start doing
Speaking of which, I got to stop opening Snapchat when I'm on getting hard on camera.
Yeah, we should just start Twitch streaming DDR, though.
We should just start.
It wouldn't be that expensive. You could get a fucking
Twitch streaming erections.
Whoa,
what
that's
the fuck
weird.
Is this?
I've never seen that before. They got a new Chromecast. Must have a new interface. Holy crap! That does look better than the shit blue screen, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, dude, it'd be so cheap to get into DDR now. Probably you get one of those pads for $10. The fucking, like, what are they? They're like fucking foam pads.
They're like vinyl with mattress.
They didn't work half the time.
No. Did you ever see anybody with the hard mat?
Yeah, I had one.
You had a hard mat?
Yeah, it had a bar. It had a bar on the back.
Yep. They were super expensive.
Yeah, they were real expensive.
I remember they had ones that were basically just like mattress pads.
Mm-hmm.
You know what was weird, though? Was that DDR at the arcade was the better experience, but it fucking sucked.
Yeah. They also had the other one that was, instead of up, down, left, right,
it was diagonals.
It was the diagonals.
Right? That one was...
And it would throw you off because you were used to the other one.
Yeah.
They had it at the bowling alley.
Do they have one that was all of them? Every cardinal direction?
That's what they should do, including the middle one.
Yeah. Jump.
Well, that was the thing, was the diagonal one had the four diagonals and the middle button.
That's what it was.
But with DDR, it was just up, down, left, right.
Wasn't it with the diagonal one, like, where the up, down, left, right was basically, you would just be pivoting the whole time, right? That's what I remember that one being like.
Yeah, they were just metal.
You didn't just face the screen. You were kind of pivoting
the idea
body
was to
the
do
whole
that,
time.
Yeah.
Because you're
facing this way, or you're facing this way, because diagonals, like, you kind of had to do that.
Yeah.
It was definitely harder, because there's more of a reach.
Yeah.
Like a spread between the two diagonals. The thing was, like, if you were good at it, it's not that much of a difference. You get used to it quick, because if you're already good at DDR, you kind of catch on. But it was fucking, that was such a big game back then. If Twitch was a thing back then, it would be fucking...
Time splitters.
Yeah. I remember nights where, like, we would just play DDR for fucking way too long.
Everybody would be sweaty as fuck.
Yeah. And fucking, honestly, it was, like, still pretty cool. And there was never any good songs. They were all wicked bad songs,
they
except
were all
for real to
sketchy,
real.
Like Japanese songs, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. And some of them had like music videos behind them and shit. It's a shame. They had DDR, DDR 2, DDR Max or whatever. DDR, what was
Remix?
The green one? Yeah, there was a green one or some shit. I don't even know. It's funny because they didn't really make that many of the games either.
Well, what was the one for the Wii that got Just Dance? That was popular for a while.
Yeah, that was. And that's motion control. So, isn't there a Dance Central or something?
That was with the Kinect, right?
Yeah. Just Dance is still popular, though, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they still make them.
Yeah, I think they make them for the Switch now.
It's got to be way better with the Switch.
Thing is,
you don't have the fucking nunchuck.
Yeah.
Is that how it was, or was it just the one Wiimote?
I don't know. They made the one for the iToy.
Yeah.
That was the one that got big, I think. Because it was all camera-based. That's how you need it to be, though, because then it can track your hands and your legs. That's really the way you had to do it.
That one iToy game was so... the first one, iToy Play.
I never played it.
Oh, iToy was so sweet.
It's weird. There was a spot
that was like
where,
the craziest fucking time. I remember I got the iToy for, like, Christmas or my birthday. And it was like... I got the iToy Play. I got the iToy Nickelodeon's game, which was sweet.
There was one spot in time. I just yawned and burped at the same time. There was one spot where like motion games were huge. And then they died off.
And then the Wii came out.
Yeah. The Wii was like the peak of it, basically.
Yeah. I feel like the Kinect. The iToy came out. And it was pretty popular.
Right.
And then that kind of crashed. And then the Wii came out, and that went up.
The Wii
and
then missed.
And then it kind of plateaued.
The Wii U sort of like...
And then it was the Kinect and the PlayStation Move. They were just... Because anybody that wanted the motion controls had a Wii.
Yeah.
Everybody had a Wii,
yeah.
Right?
I don't know anybody that didn't have a Wii.
Yeah.
I don't know any human beings that didn't own a Nintendo Wii.
That was a crazy fucking time, too.
No, it did seem like everybody got that because, you know, it was everybody was talking about it. Everybody liked Wii Bowling, so everybody,
that was
really what it was.
Like, literally, people would get the Wii just
for
Wii
Sports. Yeah.
Which was actually a good deal.
And, like, and nowadays, you probably get it for fucking $40, all that shit.
I will play Wii Sports right now when I get home because I still have my Wii hooked up.
Yeah. I think there's one hooked up downstairs. Pretty sure.
I just remember how crazy it was. Like,
my dad plays Wii golf all the time, or frisbee golf or whatever and shit, too. He doesn't play bowling anymore because it's too easy. Like, at a certain point, you recognize exactly where to throw the ball, and you can just roll 300 every time. It's kind of bullshit. But I remember, like, I used to... like, way back forever ago, I used to have people spend the night at my old house, and we would just go downstairs and play Wii Bowling for most of the night, just for whatever reason, even though, like, you could pretty much ace it every time.
Yeah.
The first one was easy, but when they did Wii Sports Resort, it was harder.
Motion Plus, right?
Yeah. It was harder because you couldn't rocket the ball halfway down the fucking lane.
Yeah.
Like, because if you did that every time, it would work. You just have to know exactly where to throw it.
The Wii Sports Resort had the sword fighting game.
It had a couple of really cool games. There was boxing on it, too, I think.
Boxing was in the first one, too. That one was impossible, though. You got to a point in the boxing game. No, dude, it was so hard.
That's what I only did versus. Yeah, it's fucking, I don't know. They need to find a way to bring that back. But I think the problem is they're moving to VR. Everything's moving towards VR. So, like, it kills off just those basic motion control
games. I think VR is too intense for most people.
It could be. And it also is still in its infancy.
Expensive as fuck.
It's in its infancy, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's not really, nothing's really that polished.
Mm-mm.
So you're at a point where, like, you can get into VR, but it's expensive, and it's not that great right now. So it's either wait or play fucking Wii Sports Resort. Those are your options. They should just make Wii Sports Resort VR. You know?
Yeah.
Because then you can look around and see all the Miis, the roly-poly-oly looking dudes.
I'd really like just to play Super Hot VR again, because that's...
That game seems like it would work real well in VR.
It's seriously the most fun I've ever had playing a game. Yeah. Like, just pure fun, you know? No role-playing, no story, just pure fun with super hot VR. It was absolutely insane.
I mean, it's definitely designed for it. It's beyond fucking perfect for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole storyline was VR, basically.
Yeah.
It's the idea.
And, like, after, and I loved Super Hot to begin with, but after playing it in VR, I can't go back.
Yeah, I haven't played it in VR, but I've played the game itself. And the game, standalone, like, without VR, is still good.
Yeah.
So, like, you gotta imagine that even in a VR sense, it would work
out. Like, the thing is, in the VR, you get both your hands, you get freedom of motion, freedom to look. You don't move at all.
Yeah.
But, like, I think I brought it up before, there's the one level where you start off and you're a bartender, and all the guys are coming at you, and all you can do is throw beer bottles and liquor bottles and stuff. And you can literally, like you know, you grab a beer bottle, one in each hand, you smash one over a guy, and then you grab his head and crush his face against the bar.
Do you use a controller?
You use the Vive controllers.
How do you move, then? Because there's definitely movement.
You don't move. Oh, I don't think you move.
Because I thought in the regular game you'd have to move to, like, avoid bullets, and time only moves when you do. So, like, there's got to be a way that you move.
I can't remember how it worked now that I think about it. I don't remember moving. I don't. Maybe you do. I think the room would track your movement, I think is what it was. And you would be in, like a 4 foot by 4 foot, like, area of movement.
See, that's another thing about VR is you need, if you're going to have a physical movement, you need room.
Yeah.
Like, there has to be a room in your house that you dedicate to it, almost.
Well, I mean, people do that with the Wii, kind of. We had that. We had a dedicated Wii room. You know, you weren't going to play the Wii in your bedroom. You were going to play the Wii in, like, the open living room.
Right. But as
with the VR,
with
the Vive, you need the,
yes,
the notches in the corner and all that, yeah.
Yeah. As VR gets bigger, you pretty much have to have a devoted room to just maybe just your PC and a bunch of fucking open area.
That's what Wes's room is like, you know. His PC room is a separate room. It's just his computer.
That's what you have to have, yeah. I'm not ready to get into it. It's too expensive and it's not polished yet. Until I see, you know, like, really fucking, I mean, some of those games are still getting good reviews cuz they're probably fun. But it's not worth the amount of money.
You're basically spending...
You're spending $600-$700 probably, right? For the Vive?
Yeah.
It's not worth it. It's like, I'll just put my phone in a fucking one of those VR things. Check it out for a couple seconds.
I mean, that's the problem, too, is that if I got a, if you and I got a VR, we wouldn't be exclusively playing it.
No, there's no way. You'd probably throw up.
Well, it's not even that. It's like, what games do you and I really play?
Yeah. Well, it also disorients you anyway.
Yeah. Like, you know, I play right now, I'm mostly only playing Counter-Strike and Hitman 2 and
they don't have Insurgency for fucking VR.
And Insurgency. So
yeah, as soon as they have Apex Legends VR.
Now Hitman VR would be crazy.
Yeah, cuz then you can kill everybody.
Yeah.
In VR. I've never played any of those.
Oh. Do you have Game Pass or no?
No.
The first one's on Game Pass.
Yeah, I don't know. I might eventually do it, but it's like, I don't know. There's not enough that I would play, I don't think. I don't dedicate enough time to, like, other games. I pretty much stick with, like, the tried and true, like, three or four games.
You play, like, Destiny and Madden and, yeah.
The show and Insurgency right now is, like, that's the top four, I think.
Yeah, like, I started playing Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice, and I got through, like, the first area, and I'm like, this is too... It's a great game, but I would rather be playing Hitman or CSGO. Yeah. Like, at least right now with Hitman, because I went through and I have the first one, and I went through and I beat the whole first one. And then Sunday I bought the second one. And you can import all the levels from the first one into the second one if you own both of them. So now I'm playing through the second one, And by the time I'm done, like, I had it Sunday, right? I already put 9 hours into it between Sunday and Monday. And that was only on the first map. There's six. Because each map is replayable. There's an infinite amount of ways to assassinate all the targets and all that.
Well, it's weird. I feel like I almost don't want to dedicate a certain amount of time to learning a new game in general.
Yeah, that's the problem, too, with those games. The Hitman games are wicked. Like, if you haven't played them before, they're really hard to pick up.
Yeah.
You know, the tutorial is really good. It's very extensive, but it's such a challenge. It's a puzzle game disguised as a stealth game.
Right.
Is basically what
I booted up RuneScape, old school RuneScape, because Cass was talking about
it.
I was like, you know what? I'm going to try it. And I played it for like an hour. And I was like, you know what? All I'm doing is cutting down trees. Like, I found out that the only thing I'm doing is cutting down trees and then making fires out of them.
Yeah.
For way too long. Like, increasing my fire-making skill. I don't know. Like, the problem with that game is they don't give you, like, a waypoint to go to carry on whatever quest you're on. So you really don't know. And the map's fucking huge immediately. As soon as you put into the game, you can zoom out and the map's giant. So you're like, I don't actually know what to do. Had to walk halfway across the map to get, like, copper ore or some shit. And then I'm just farming ore for the weapons I can't make yet. So...
yeah.
What am I doing? Like, all I'm going to be doing is dedicating a bunch of time to clicking on trees or clicking on fucking rocks. Doors. I'm not doing this. I'm done.
Yeah, that's my problem with MMOs.
It's MMOs in general, yeah.
The thing with when WoW first came out, and I remember first playing WoW, it was crazy because there wasn't anything like it yet. So you didn't realize that you were just doing busy work most of the time.
Yeah.
And then other RPGs come out that give you a similar experience to all the good shit that WoW had, like the dungeon crawling, the boss fights, the leveling up, the getting the cool gear. You know, you look at your Skyrims or your Witcher.
See, I like that, getting gear that's better and better and progressing throughout.
Or Destiny. The thing with Destiny is that the monotony is fun.
Yeah.
With WoW, the monotony is not fun.
That's the thing, is if you have solid gameplay, that
shit doesn't feel
monotonous. The grinding works if you have gameplay that's
fun. Like, what is it with Destiny is just mechanically,
it's just a solid game. Yeah, mechanically it's made.
Like, if Destiny was no multiplayer, just the story mode. Say it was just like an 8 hour to 10 hours. I know the story is not that long, but let's say Destiny as a game was just an 8 hour story mode.
Yeah.
You would still be like, this is still great, and it's still probably worth $60, just like Halo.
Thing is, they want an end game.
Yeah.
For the people that played all the time, which is why they go, well, and now it's different too with Activision being gone.
Yeah.
They're like, we're just going to put out like constant updates instead of like one big update every quarter or whatever.
Yeah.
Because they used to do that. But now, if like World of Warcraft did the same thing, it was like periodical updates every, you know, 3-4 months to keep people playing, keep people interested. That's what you need to do. Especially with a game that's like that, where you're constantly getting more powerful.
Then WoW's expansions were only like every 2 to 3 years.
Right.
And that, then, that's all of a, the thing. Then all of a sudden,
frequency
the
of
only updates were expansions.
Yeah.
I feel like after Wrath of the Lich King, I played after.
And then with that, you're paying for updates. You're also paying for a subscription.
Yeah.
Which people would not want if it was Destiny, where you're paying $60, another $10, $20 for an expansion plus a subscription. That's way too much. Because you're paying $50 a year just for Xbox Live or PlayStation Plus. No, they're not going to handle that. They're not going to deal with that. With World of Warcraft, it makes sense because you're not paying for a PC subscription. You're just paying for that game.
Yeah, that's why it's good that the Elder Scrolls Online went free to play.
Yeah.
Even though apparently that game's huge. And apparently so is Final Fantasy XIV.
I hear decent things about Elder Scrolls Online, but it's like, I feel like most people also say Skyrim's better.
Oh yeah, for sure. So, if I could have a conversation with somebody that prefers ESO to Skyrim, I'd be very confused, actually.
To me, that seems weird because you would think ESO is a constantly expanding universe that would constantly grow and get better, and you can interact with other people.
And I feel like the gameplay just probably isn't that fun.
But it's like, how do you fuck it up when you've done it already? Like, I never understood that. Like, when you make a game that fucking works and it's been successful, how do you fuck it up? Destiny 1 from Destiny 2 is not that different gameplay-wise. They're more or less the same. They were like, look, we have a game that works, so we're going to just do it again. Improve the graphics a little, change the storyline, give you some new shit.
I think that's the problem with ESO, is that people were just expecting an online Skyrim.
Yeah.
Which is what they should have done. They should have done like a Skyrim Borderlands sort of thing.
They're not wrong to expect that. That's what it should have been.
Yeah. I hear it's still good though. I haven't tried it. I think I downloaded it, made a character, and then the server crashed and I uninstalled.
Yeah. Well, there's just no excuse for that not to be that, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
But I hear Final Fantasy 14 is actually like the biggest MMO out right now.
Is that the one where you push a car and then the cat on the boardwalk and all that?
No, that's 15. That's the game. That's the game. No. 14, I don't know. I think Brian had played it. I can't remember. I think he has played it. I've seen gameplay of it, and it looks amazing. I can't do MMOs, but it looks amazing.
Brian's probably listening, though, because he doesn't like the episodes where we talk to people he doesn't know.
True. yeah. yeah, so hopefully when he listens to this, he'll text us and be like, yeah, I played it, Final Fantasy 14,
you know,
and it's good.
You know he will. He's gonna.
Yeah, I'm expecting him to. And I'm not even, like, I could totally just text him right now and be like, Brian, did you play Final Fantasy 14? But I'm going to wait.
It's going to be funnier if he says it.
I'm going to wait a couple days and see if he. But I don't even know what I was getting at with that.
Yeah.
Oh, they're making a third Borderlands. You never played the first two, did you? I don't remember.
I played one, I think.
And then you didn't like it?
I don't remember. It's not that I didn't like it. I just didn't get into it that much. I felt like it was monotonous. I don't know.
Yeah.
I kind of got stuck, I think.
They're making a third one. I think they announced the third one.
I mean, I think they could get away with it for sure. They got a lot of fucking fan support. And I think that genre's really big, too, right now. Anthem's coming out soon. That's the problem, is they're going to be competing with Anthem and The Division 2. Apex Legends is really big, and it's not the same genre, but they also have Destiny 2 to compete with. So, like, that looter shooter genre has a lot of people jumping into it.
Yeah. See, the thing is, though, is I might be one of those guys.
But it's also offline.
Yeah, I was going to say, I might be one of those people that I loved the first Borderlands. The second one, it was pretty good. And I might just be like, fuck the other games. Right. I would just rather play Borderlands.
The original one?
Well, just stick with that specific series.
Okay. Yeah.
I wonder if there's any people that have played Destiny or The Division or other looter shooters just because there isn't a Borderlands 3. You know what I mean?
I'm sure there is, yeah.
And I wonder if
also Destiny players that are going to check out
Borderlands
Anthem.
3.
Yeah.
Oh, Anthem's the other one.
Any of them.
I haven't seen much good about Anthem.
No, me either, really. It seems okay, but it's not. It doesn't seem like the gunplay is that fun. From what I've heard, it's not that great. But
is it out already?
No, it comes out this month, weeks, right? Or something like that. Yeah, maybe next month.
I don't trust anything BioWare touches ever since Mass Effect 3.
It's also EA,
and it's also EA.
So it worries me. I was definitely interested in when it was revealed, but I also just, I don't know. I've put so much time into Destiny 2, so like it feels like if I just stop playing it, I feel like I'm locked in now.
Yeah,
it's
like an abusive relationship.
Yeah,
that's why I play 2K still.
Yeah, it's like when there's a drought, you know, like if it goes 2 or 3 weeks without a content update, which usually it's 2 or 3 weeks before the next one. It seems like there's not much to do, even though, because I'm max level, like I have all the weapons I want. My build is like the way I want it to be. It's like, what do I have to play for right now?
Yeah.
So, and that's because I've put a lot of time into it. So.
Yeah. See, that's how I felt with Diablo 3 when I played through, and like that was all I played for like a few weeks one summer.
Yeah.
And I got like the wizard, the demon hunter, and the monk all max level, and I was like, I haven't touched
it's
it
also
since.
Because
you get to a point where it's like, you know, you kind of have done everything. At least the problem with Diablo 3 was that there was only one expansion.
Yeah. And there's definitely things I can work towards in Destiny 2.
Don't quote me on that. I think there was only one. Reaper of Souls was the only one.
The expansion?
For Diablo 3. That was the only one,
right? I think it was,
yeah. And Destiny, the first Destiny had three?
The first one had House of Wolves, and there was two early, just little things. Then there was The Taken King, and then there was Rise of Iron. Those were the two big ones. And then Destiny 2 dropped, and then there was Curse of Osiris, Warmind, and Forsaken. That was the big one. It's the same formula. They kind of follow the same thing. Like they
do
two big content drops like every year or whatever, and they separate them like year one, year two, year three. But the idea for me is like there's things I could chase in those games, but they would just take so much time to complete, you know. And I think with a game like Diablo, there's dungeons, right, in Diablo 2 or whatever. What are they called? Like, there's an endgame mode in Diablo 2.
The Nephilim Rifts.
Yeah.
The Rifts. They were cool, and you would get wicked good gear, but the problem was just, it's not a pretty game to look at.
No, it isn't.
That's, I think, now that I'm
I tried to start playing Diablo 2, even, like, not even a month ago. And I was like, you know what, I'm not interested in just the visuals in general. Which, I mean, I guess I probably could tolerate since I would listen to watch a podcast or something as well.
That was my problem with 3, was like...
I haven't even played 3. Does 3, it looks good?
It looks pretty good, honestly. 3 looks really good, but once you play it so much, it just looks very same.
You've seen it all, yeah.
Very
robotic.
Bland, yeah. 3 is...
That's the problem I have with Madden. Is like when you play it so much.
I had to stop playing it. I played like as soon as I got 19, I legitimately played. I probably played like 7 or 8 games a day, which is fucking.
That's the
not
thing
good.
Is when you play that much, you've seen all the animations so many times that you feel like you're doing the same thing over and fucking over.
And you know I would you know start a franchise, struggle the first year. Kick ass the second year, third year, fourth year. Fifth year, I have to pay all my guys, and I can't pay all of them. And then the sixth year, I'd get bored because all of a sudden, all the players that I know about are gone.
Right.
You know?
Yes, and then you're all like, you're playing like a bunch of drafted kids.
Yeah, and that's the thing with 2K, is at least with 2K, you know, like I have a league now where I was the general manager of like the Thunder. Either the Thunder or the Grizzlies, like some small market. I think it was the Grizzlies. I traded away all my superstars.
Yep.
Traded away Mike Conley, Marcus Saul, and Lance Stevenson, and draft picks. Took on a bunch of shitty players.
Right.
Played like absolute dog shit. Simmed the whole first year. Got the first overall pick. Traded that for a bunch of picks. I just built up picks.
See, I think simming is part of the issue, too. It's like when you get to a certain point in the season, you're losing your guys.
Yeah. And that was the thing.
That's what I'm scared of in Madden right now. It's because, like, I haven't simmed any of it. But, like, I'm, like, 5 seasons in, and I'm thinking I'm about to, like, Aaron Rodgers, Clay Matthews, like, all those dudes. I have Joey Bosa. Like, those guys are going to retire. So, like, I'm like, fuck, I don't want to start over.
Yeah.
Like, I want to keep going with this.
And that's the thing, like, I was getting at with 2K, is, like, I ended up becoming the general manager of the Knicks, and I had all this cap space, and I went around and I just re-signed a bunch of wicked old legends. Like, I have like a 40-year-old LeBron and like a 36-year-old Kevin Durant and shit.
Right.
So I have all these older players, but it's fun to play as them because you can pretend in your head like, wow,
they're
all
in
these
their prime.
They're in their prime, but not even that. Like, they're in the twilight years of their career, and they're all together going up against the super young rest of the league. Like, it's fun. The NBA, I don't watch it. I fucking hate watching it. It's boring as shit to me. Yeah. But the storylines are good because it's a year-round thing.
I'm getting close to that in the show, too.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the things about the show is the animations don't fucking always look the same, so you don't really get that bored of it because they're good enough to set themselves apart.
And every player, at least from what I played of the show, not the newest one, but just in general, every player feels different.
Yes,
every player
is different. Their swings are all different.
Yeah. And it's just fun. It's so much more strategic than any other sports
game. I've done two whole seasons almost, which is a lot of games.
Playing every game?
Yes. A lot of games. And I'm in the champion. I just finished the ALCS in my second year against the Yankees. I was fucking, it was game two. It was 3-2 in the bottom of the ninth. I was losing. I had Pujols up and a guy on second. And I was like, I'm about to win this game because I was about to hit a walk-off home run, 4-3 or whatever. Hit it deep to right field, and Aaron Judge robbed it at the wall. That was my third out. That was the game. So it was either a walk-off home run or he robs me.
Yeah.
And of course he does because the AI is perfect.
You know what, too, is that a game that doesn't ever get old that neither of us play is NHL.
Yeah.
That's
a
game.
15 or some shit. Yeah. Like, I have one of the wicked old ones.
Yeah. That's a game where it's so fast.
Yeah.
That it's in, you know, the games.
The problem for me is either when I play on pro, it's
you
too easy.
You either destroy or
it's
you get
destroyed. I shred the other team. If I play on all pro or whatever the next difficulty up is, I fucking get dominated. Because you can't, like, just deke out the goalie and shit at a certain point. And I don't know enough about hockey either.
Yeah, that's a big problem that people have.
Like, I don't know.
Because you don't call plays. You have, like, base sets.
Yeah.
And you have to play
I don't
off
know
of
when to saucer pass.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know when
don't know
to
the
fucking clear the puck.
Like, you know.
I mean, I know what icing is. I know what offsides is. It's like, I know the basic shit, but I'm not gonna study NHL to play the fucking game.
Yeah, the thing I loved about the NHL games was that when you built your team, it felt like your team. Like, because every NHL team is built differently.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, every single one is built differently, and you could build one that was like, okay, I'm gonna have all my, you know, my snipers on the first line and all my deekers on the second, and then my third line is just gonna be a checking line. Then my fourth line is gonna be all the fast dudes.
Yeah,
and you would strategically plan that out.
Yeah.
But you would also have to know every player on your team and every single thing they were good
at. Line changes, when you should switch lines. Dude, like, and it's so fast too to switch lines in that game. Like, you hit X.
It's
I think
almost
you just
instant.
Hit X.
Yeah.
And it switches to your next line or whatever. And you gotta know when to do it when you're clearing the puck down the fucking ice.
And it's if, like, you get caught off guard, you're fucked.
Yeah.
And if you go into a shootout and you're playing against the computer, you're fucked.
Yeah.
I never win shootouts.
I really like the intensity of hockey. It's just that I got into it for like a year and I just never stayed with it. That was all. And I think if I did, I'd probably still really like it. But I don't know. It's kind of like basketball as well, where, like, you get a lot of games. You know, the only reason I can tolerate baseball having so many games is because I don't have to pay constant attention to it.
Yeah.
Like, I can just fucking...
You can watch one game per series, which means you're only really watching, like, 30 games.
Yes, you're
year.
Really only focused on this series.
You can watch one game a week and be fine.
Yeah.
With baseball.
Yes. I mean, fuck, you could watch just the highlights. You'd see, like, four hits.
You could watch the last inning of every game, mostly.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the time, at least for me,
A lot of times you're waiting for that starter to get tired.
Yeah.
Because, like, the first four or five innings, a lot of times they're shutdown innings because the pitchers are so good now.
Yeah. I like baseball because it's my dad will always watch it, and we get to sit there, shoot the shit, and watch baseball.
Right.
That's the same thing with SU games. We could sit there and shoot the shit for the first half, then the second half.
There's something about, like, nothing happening for six innings, and then the crack of the bat fucking putting one in the gap with a dude on second.
Yeah. There's just something so great about, like, watching someone hit a home run.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fucking Americana as fuck is what it is.
It really is.
I fucking can't wait for baseball season. I'm like, so hyped for baseball season. That team, the Angels look like, just like, if you look at the roster, they just look awesome. If you got Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani, Andrelton Simmons, who's basically, he got a Golden Glove last year, but super under fucking rated shortstop. And then it's like, even Justin Upton, they have a good roster, but it's like that's a team that underperforms every year.
Yeah.
It's so weird. But you got like a team like the Yankees that has a good roster and they still play really well every year. It's odd. And you can't put your finger on what that is.
People say the Yankees buy their rings, but when you think about it, really, the only player they
bought... There's rosters that are better than the Yankees.
Yeah, it all comes from the farm system. Like,
a lot of it does, for sure.
Since I've been a kid, the only players that I remember the Yankees signing that were, like, super huge game changers. Obviously, A-Rod.
Aaron Judge.
Well, Aaron Judge was drafted by the Yankees.
Well, yeah. Oh, because you're talking about just farm system?
I'm talking about people that were signed, like, big name.
Signed from someone
like
else.
Buying their rings.
Yeah, yeah.
The only players I can think of off the
definitely
top of my head.
Definitely A-Rod, yeah.
Definitely A-Rod. Mark Teixeira was a big deal. And CC Sabathia was a huge deal.
CC was around for a long time, too.
He's still around.
He put in
this
years,
is, I think
dude.
This is his last year. Is this
He's still going to stay?
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be done.
He signed one more 1 year deal.
Fuck.
And
throws heat, man. That dude's
who
fucking...
the fuck did they sign after? AJ Burnett was the other one.
Yeah. Yeah, they had, I mean, that's the thing. Is
that
like...
year when they won the World Series was crazy because everybody expected them to win it all, and then all of a sudden Philadelphia was like, nah, we're doing this shit. We won it last year. We're better than before. And just it ended up being Hideki Matsui just fucking...
Yeah, dude.
He got like 4 home runs in 6 games.
Hideki was awesome.
Like, that was just a crazy series. I still remember just... Every time he came up to bat, you were like, he's about to fucking kick some ass now. And it was just that, like, he was always a decent guy. He was always
That's
a decent player.
That's how I feel about dudes like Bryce Harper or Mike Trout. It's like, you see him at the plate, and you just admire their at-bat.
Yeah.
Because you're like, this guy can see the ball so fucking well. And if he gets a piece of the bat on the fucking ball, it's in the gap. And if it's not in the gap... He popped it where it probably should have been, but the fucking fielder got there.
Yeah.
Like, they put it in the perfect spot every time. It's really unbelievable.
Baseball is such a crazy sport, and it gets no respect.
It's very difficult to be a batter in fucking baseball. It's so hard. People don't understand. Even really good fucking batters are still, like, their average. If you look at their average, you're not fucking getting on base every time. Not even close.
No. Like, the best ones get on a third of the time.
Yeah, you're 2 for 5 in a game.
Yeah.
If you're good. Like, yeah. It's really crazy.
But it's just weird that baseball gets just no... Baseball is like the Nickelback of sports.
Yeah, it is.
It's like the Maroon 5 of sports.
It got overplayed, and people stopped paying attention to it.
Like, I don't remember what it was, but there was just a shift between covering baseball all the time to covering the NBA... And now the NBA is becoming a thing. Like, they,
you know, the AAF first weekend actually beat the NBA in ratings.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
So that goes to show you how popular American football is when a second level league of American football beats the NBA out.
Yeah.
In, well, 2 days of,
yeah.
I mean, that's a weekend.
What
though.
The fuck was there was a thing I read, two things I read on Reddit about basketball on the NBA subreddit. One of them was that they did a survey on Reddit, which had the NBA subreddit has over 1.5 million people on there, if I recall correctly.
Probably.
And they surveyed over hundreds of thousands of people on there to be like, how often do you watch games? This.
I imagine they
only
don't watch that much.
Only, like, I would honestly say it was like 4 or 5% of the people that were surveyed actually watch games.
I imagine there's certain ones they want to watch, but like when there's...
It's like, how many games do you watch a week? And most people were like 1 or fewer.
Yeah.
I would say an overwhelming majority.
Yeah. It
because
also
it's
comes
just,
from
it's just oversaturated.
Too many games, yes.
And then the other thing I
but
was
But what
reading,
do you do? What do? Do you just make them play less games?
You can't shorten the season because that's then I mean. It makes the whole, all the records irrelevant.
Do you just televise less games? I mean, you got to televise all of them, right? Because there are people that watch all of them.
There's only, they're not even televised, really. Because
it's not the WWE where you can just do house shows.
Yeah.
And have them not be televised and not matter because every game does matter. So, like, you do have to kind of show every fucking game, because if the fans really want to watch every game, they're going to watch every game.
The problem with the NBA is that they hype up games as if they're events.
Right.
But it's like, why would I dedicate this night to watch Lakers versus Celtics when you don't even, when you know, like, that's the problem with the NBA, too, is that you know that the Warriors are going to fucking win the title, too, because they're that much, they're like the Alabama of the NBA. Right. They're that much better than everybody. And well, I was gonna say that the Pro Bowl for the NFL this year and last year, not combined, but just the Pro Bowl this year and the Pro Bowl last year, had better ratings than every finals game for the NBA last year.
Yeah,
and the Pro Bowl gets made fun of by everybody that likes the NFL, but it's still
everyone you talk to about the Pro Bowl says I'm not watching it.
Yeah.
So how does that still happen?
I have no idea. I don't know anybody that watches the Pro Bowl, but apparently to show you. More people watch the Pro Bowl than people that watch basketball.
Yeah. And it's just when I watch, I feel like if I miss an NBA game or something, I'm not going to be able to catch up on it unless I have some YouTube channel that's going to show me the highlights. Because they're not ESPN ain't going to.
They're no, ESPN's going to talk about trade rumors and LeBron's dinner and shit.
And they're going to talk about how the dude that took six steps after picking up the ball traveled yesterday night. And the I was watching it for I watched, and what was it, fucking...
Is it The Jump?
Yes, it's whatever's after NFL Live.
Yeah.
And fucking...
The Jump.
The Jump. It's got Scottie Pippen on it and shit.
Yeah. Scottie Pippen and
they were talking about this dude that clearly traveled, but the referees were saying it's because he took two steps, lost control or whatever, and regained control, so he gets his pivot foot back and then put it up or whatever. But he took six steps. It's if that's really the case, why can't you just run down the court being like this, just bobbling, I didn't have control,
just hot potato the ball the whole time.
Yeah, I didn't have control. It's not traveling.
It's got to be it's a loophole. It's true. That's a loophole and a half.
It's definitely a loophole.
But yeah,
but that's what they talk about instead of going, here's the highlights from the game. Yeah. If you watch ESPN Sunday night after the Sunday night game, you're listening to them show the highlights of the game. I want that from the NBA. But I can't find that anywhere. There has to be a YouTube channel.
That's the problem, is that you have to look for it.
Yeah.
And NBA fans are like, well, the NBA is the best because anybody can be a highlight channel online and yada, yada, yada. But it's like, but you have to go and find those channels. You can't just go to the NBA. There's no wrap up, you know, let's say they play six games today. I don't know how many let's say they play six NBA games today. You can't go to the NBA channel on YouTube and
watch,
they're going to
talk about what LeBron tweeted fucking
during the games.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if it's a Sunday, like you said, and you go on the NFL YouTube channel, there's going to be a 15-minute recap of every game.
Every single game is on the
YouTube. You know what's a game changer for the NFL? Fucking Red Zone. Red Zone is amazing.
Red Zone's great, especially when your team isn't on a bye week or something. Yeah. It's perfect. Or if you're playing Monday night or Thursday.
The other good thing is Good Morning Football. I don't know if you ever watch it. You're never up that early.
That's the one with the dude from the Lions. What's his fucking name there?
Burleson.
Yeah, Nate Burleson.
Yeah, and that hot chick.
Yeah.
And those two other dudes. And Reggie Bush, I think. Reggie Bush is on there. But anyway.
Yeah.
That's a great show because it's all NFL talk and it's 4 hours long, and they cover everything. And there's no fucking social media.
It doesn't need to be about Twitter.
Twitter, the controversy. It's just straight up this is this game. Here's the highlights. Let's talk about it.
And
okay,
it's
next
weird
game.
Because is
next
that
game,
what people
next
want?
Game, next
like, do people want the Twitter controversy? Like, is that what they really want to hear?
Because
are they getting? Are their ratings increasing because they're talking about Twitter? Like, that's what I want to know. Because there's got to be a reason they're doing it and continuing to do it.
Like, as far as the NBA?
Like, do the fans want to watch that? Because it has to be the case, because otherwise they wouldn't be doing it, right? They wouldn't. It would be trending upward. Their viewership would be trending upward.
Yeah. Honestly, I think the NBA is kind of... I think sports in general has kind of peaked, but I don't see the NBA becoming more popular than it is now. especially because LeBron is retiring within the next couple of years. He's really the only reason a lot of people keep up with it.
Well, it was the same with Jordan. Like, I feel like people watched Michael Jordan. They didn't watch basketball. They watched Michael Jordan. And it doesn't seem to be the same with LeBron. Like, people don't tune in just to watch LeBron. They know how good he is.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like with MJ, it was like people would tune in to watch because he was doing something no one had before. And I think with LeBron, it's like, it's been done before. Maybe he's better statistically, you know. Who knows? It's a debate. It's always going to be a debate, I think.
Yeah. I flip-flop every time. I always flip-flop. I never
But
know.
I think my point is, like, did he bring in the eyes that MJ did? And I don't think that's the case.
No, the NBA probably...
The NBA was bigger back then, too.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of factors. It's tough. It's a never-ending debate.
I think the problem with LeBron is that
I'm also a Bulls fan, so... Or I was, at least.
True.
So.
I think the problem with LeBron is that he doesn't ever create... Because even Kobe and Shaq, that was always something to watch. Like, those... Because they hated each other. They hated each other, but
they also
played
worked
so
well
together.
Yeah.
And really, the storyline with LeBron is he going to win a championship? No, because the Warriors exist, you know? Right. What team is going to lose to the Warriors this year is what it's been like for the past 3 years.
That's part of the thing is, like, LeBron basically would have to carry a team through beating the Warriors. So good fucking luck, bro.
Which he did before, but the problem is that the Warriors didn't have Kevin Durant and DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, it wasn't the same team.
No.
Yeah, it's weird. But I still don't think that he's bringing in the eyes that Jordan did.
No, but I think he's bringing in more eyes than anybody else, probably combined.
Sure, yeah.
I think that's the argument.
For sure. He's definitely bigger than all of the other fucking...
Who's
the next big guy? Durant, maybe? Kevin Durant?
Steph Curry, maybe? I feel like a lot of people know who Steph Curry... I think if you ask people...
I think KD and Steph Curry are probably up there.
Yeah. James Harden?
Harden, yeah. That's about it, all I can think of. That's
you know, and the rest of them are, like, you know, big... They're good players, but I guess...
It's not the guy that, like,
it's
can
not
carry
like,
the team.
You know, you're not going to get people that start watching the NBA because of somebody like Giannis Antetokounmpo or Jimmy Butler or Paul George. Like, people start watching it because of...
Yao Ming.
Yeah. That's the other thing, too, is Yao Ming was a crazy character. Like people watched to watch Yao Ming, too, because he was a fucking 7'7" Asian guy.
Yeah. Who was the little Asian dude that went off for like a week?
Jeremy Lin.
Jeremy Lin, yeah.
Yeah.
And he still plays, right?
He's on
the Raptors
now.
He played for the Rockets
now.
Or something?
Oh, shit. Holy shit. I know so much about Jeremy Lin. He's one of the
Because he used to, there was like 1 month where he just blew the fuck up.
He averaged like 40 points a game.
He was ridiculous.
He scored a game winner over Kobe, like in overtime or some shit.
And he just blew the fuck up, and then no one knew who he was again.
He went from the Knicks to the Nets to the Hawks.
That's who he was playing for at the time.
To the Rockets, to the Hornets, to the fucking Bobcats.
They moved him around a lot then, huh?
He keeps getting injured. And
what's he, a shooting guard? Point guard.
He's pretty good still, too, and he's on the Raptors now.
I don't see how you could be not good after, you know, doing what you did. Obviously, you know you have the talent, so it's like it's a consistency thing.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, there isn't really an NBA. There's not like if I would say
Lin Sanity, dude.
Yeah, Lin Sanity was that was one of the greatest moments in basketball history. But I guess if like let's say LeBron got in a bad car accident, God forbid,
right?
And he lost it, and he lost one of his legs. How many people would stop watching the NBA if LeBron lost one of his legs overnight? I would probably never watch it again. I never, you know, like, I don't give a shit
anymore.
How much
do you watch it now?
I don't.
That's what I mean.
You know?
So the average number of games you watch would drastically drop.
It would drop from 0 to 0.
Yeah.
But I probably would stop paying attention to it for sure. Because LeBron is the only person I kind of want to follow. I like.
Well, it's because he's leaving a legacy.
Yeah.
Is what it really is.
Like, I remember watching when he, like, when he did beat the Warriors.
Like, if Derrick Rose didn't get injured, like, constantly,
yeah,
I think he'd be leaving a legacy, too.
Yeah.
We'd be tuning in for him, too, so.
Yeah, Derrick
Rose.
Dude,
think about how awesome of a fucking franchise the Bulls would have been if Derrick Rose went off, like, and became fucking the LeBron James. Like, that's going from Jordan and then a couple years later having Derrick Rose.
Yeah, and Derrick Rose is still a mega popular player.
I mean, yeah. But it's his injuries were huge setbacks.
Yeah.
Huge setbacks.
But, no, I was going to say.
It's like John Jones getting fucking popped for fucking PEDs. You know?
Yeah, and I think that speaks to how better of a product the UFC is, because John Jones was gone for years, and I still watch the UFC, and yeah, he was the only reason I got into it. Whereas LeBron's the only reason I got into basketball, but once he's gone, I'm really not going to give a shit because the product isn't that good.
Right. I think I got pulled into the UFC from guys like Liddell or fucking Shogun, like Dan Henderson. I mean, it's because back in that era, it was like dudes just fucking one-shotting people.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't happen as much anymore, but it still exists for sure. That was, you know, I think if there weren't guys one-shotting people, I probably wouldn't have gotten into it the same way, yeah, I did. Also, the games brought me in for sure. Like the Undisputed games.
Yeah.
As soon as I played those, I was like, fuck, this is wicked cool. Like,
yeah, now that I think about it, I think I didn't really pay attention to the NBA as much until I got like 2K12 for free or some shit. I got 2K12 for like $2 or something.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I feel like if I played 2K more, I probably would watch a game once in a while.
Yeah. But I was going to say, the best thing about college basketball,
I think that's a reason that the games, like EA, I think that's a reason EA wants to have a monopoly on the NFL, because the games bring you into the league and vice versa. So the league, if you watch the league and you have, not the league, the TV show, if you watch the NFL and you want to play a football game, you have to buy their game.
Yeah.
And if you play the football game, you want to watch some football, you pretty much got to watch the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, the AAF is a thing. People are talking about the AAF getting a fucking license with, like, 2K or some shit. That'd be so cool. Because it's not technically an NFL brand.
No.
So you could probably legally pull that off. If anything, they're going to do the XFL.
If the NFL lets Madden put the AAF in Madden, the
that
AAF
would be cool. You could use it as a farm team.
The
basically
AAF
what it is.
Would get so huge.
Yeah.
Backing off of that point. Because the AAF is already getting people to watch it because it's football when there's no football.
Yes. That's what it is. It's because it's the offseason and now you can still watch football. And there's no college football.
Nope.
So it's kind of in between is what it is. It's guys who maybe didn't make it in the league, didn't get drafted. Maybe they played for a practice squad for a while and went to the AAF. It's and the quality of the games is good. I'm not saying they're great games to watch. And the first week of it, it's only been 1 week, so. But the first week of it was pretty fun to watch, and I'm gonna keep watching it because it's football.
Yeah,
you can still watch it.
But yeah,
the teams aren't shit. They're not shit.
Yeah,
people forget that these are pro players. These are still kids that fucking can play on an NFL team. Maybe they got cut for, you know, maybe they didn't fit the scheme. Maybe this fucking didn't happen.
They didn't make the final 53.
Yeah, it's only 53 people on a fucking roster. Maybe they didn't make that team. They're still professional players, and they still play hard. They're playing fast, they're playing hard, and they look like pro players. There's no reason not to watch it, I don't think. I'm fucking very behind this league. I think even with the XFL, it's like they're going to have players that are retired or didn't make it. These kids want to play, and the AAF is even paying them a decent amount, so there's no reason to be that cynical person that goes, no, fucking, it's not the NFL. I don't want to watch it. They're not the same level. Well, we know they're not the same level. They're not college kids. They're not pro. They're not NFL level, but they're still professional football players.
They're probably better than the CFL.
I think so, yeah. it's quite possible. And you could see guys come over from that league.
Yeah.
And also you got NFL affiliates for these AAF teams. So each team in the AAF has NFL affiliates. So there's four teams to each AAF team. So what happens is when the NFL drops a player, the AAF team that coordinates with that team gets first dibs on that player. So say like we drop a practice squad guy, or like we just cut somebody going to cutting down to 53 men in week four of the preseason. That the Stallions are the AAF team to the Green Bay Packers, so they would get first dibs on that team, or they would get first dibs on that player.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Not so exclusive.
Not exclusively. There's four teams, NFL teams, to each AAF team.
Yeah, because the San Antonio team, I'm pretty sure, is actually the NFC East.
Yes, yes. It's like, I think it goes mostly by division.
Because I know the San Antonio team is Dallas, the Eagles, and maybe Houston and another team.
Yeah, like Birmingham is like the Patriots and the Steelers and some other fucking team. I don't know, but I don't know if it's all division. I'm pretty sure it's not, because the Stallions have the Lions and the Packers and then two other teams that aren't in the division.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how it works, but I know that that's how the players can be added to that roster. And also it gives players a gateway to the NFL. You know, say you didn't fucking make it through cut days, you still have a shot.
And the thing is, too, is that I hate this idea that a professional athlete needs to be a multi-hundred-million-dollar millionaire. You know, you can live very comfortably making $150,000, $100,000
They're making a lot of money in that league. Like, let's be honest. They're not making fucking pocket change.
Yeah.
That shit, they're still getting paid.
Yeah.
Even if you're not in the NFL.
It's very cool. But you know what's cooler? March Madness.
Yeah.
And that's what I was getting at like 10 minutes ago when I was trying to, what I was talking about.
March Madness is great, man.
The best month of the year.
The thing is, even people who don't watch college basketball pay attention to it, especially around here when Syracuse is in. And, you know, if the fucking, even if Syracuse is in the fucking Elite Eight, that's when you feel like there's a different feeling in the air. Like, people are like,
everyone is so supporting
Syracuse all of a sudden.
As soon as Syracuse makes it, the Sweet 16, it's all eyes on the Orange Men and or women, because they're a good team.
You could go almost anywhere in this town, anywhere that has a fucking TV, and they got that game on.
Guaranteed. Guaranteed.
100% chance.
Unless you're a dick that likes Duke. I know a ton of Duke fans that live here, and it's just because I know a lot of people that are like, I'm sick of Syracuse. Fuck you.
What are you sick of? What are you sick of? Have they won the championship every year for the last fucking 15 years?
No.
Like, what are you sick of?
I don't like Jim Boeheim.
I don't know how you couldn't. I mean, I think he's a great coach. I mean, obviously he is. Are you kidding? Like, with what he's done to turn that franchise? Are you fucking kidding? You can't really argue against it. Even Dino Babers, what he's done for Syracuse. I mean, fucking, the coach is very important. I think it's more important than people think it is.
Yeah, that's the other problem with basketball. It's
not all about players.
In basketball, it's a player league.
Yes, it is, for sure.
And I don't like that. I don't like the lack of loyalty.
Well, the Bulls had a great coach, too, though, back in 98. Yeah.
Well, they had Phil Jackson.
That's what I mean.
And that's the thing is, back then, players had egos, but you didn't see Michael Jordan.
Wasn't tweeting left and right.
Well, they didn't have it, but
you know?
In that era, you didn't have Michael Jordan, you know, if they lost a game, being in a press conference, being like, yeah, you know, it's the coaching staff's fault.
Right.
Or, you know. And now you see a lot of superstars in the NBA just don't give a fuck, because they're going to do what they want to do because they know they're going to be getting paid, you know.
Yeah.
However much.
Yeah, that's true. But I just fucking, when the tournament rolls around and Syracuse is in it, it's like all of a sudden.
There's like a magic in the air.
All of a sudden, everyone's a Syracuse fan.
The best thing is, too, is that even if Syracuse doesn't win it all, even if they only make it to the Sweet 16, everybody is still happy about it.
Right.
It's weird that there's a league. Granted, it's a college league, but like winning a championship isn't the be all end all. You know, the Final Four is considered like a really, really good achievement because your entire bracket.
Yes, and also Syracuse is a relatively small city.
Yeah,
and to get the fucking attention of people, just alone, that alone is what people would like. I think people like the idea of having people's attention brought to upstate New York.
Yeah. Yeah, you can identify with it.
Yes, for sure. People don't recognize. People don't think about Syracuse. Are you fucking kidding? They think, when they think New York, they think New York City. They don't think about upstate New York. Syracuse is probably the biggest place besides like Albany that's up here.
And Rochester, I think.
Rochester is pretty big, I guess. But Albany's the state capital, so you think about that probably. Syracuse, just because of the sports teams.
And Buffalo, too. That's Buffalo, more Western. Yeah.
That's definitely Western New York. But it's, you know, when you get the attention brought up here, and Syracuse doesn't get a lot of recognition, so it's really cool when they're in the tournament in general. And they're a good team a lot of the fucking time, you know. Carmelo was fucking huge.
The thing is that nobody knows how to play against the zone.
The zone is,
and as
exactly
soon as they get in the tournament, every coach is like, "We got to figure it out." I remember, what was it, like fucking 2 years ago, they beat the number one and the number two team, and they beat Michigan State and they beat Virginia.
Right.
Like what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Virginia's in their conference too.
The zone is definitely the fucking
Watching it, like when you watch the final few minutes of a Syracuse game when they're only up by like four, and you just watch the players just hone in, it's fucking magic. It's so beautiful to watch it. Just the way they switch, and just how they're
well coached.
They're so good. It's so.
I mean, that's
to watch.
Another reason you can't say anything bad about Boeheim. He's made the zone defense what it is right there. Like that, plain and simple, what you see at the end of those games is Boeheim. You're not seeing the players. I mean, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. It's just like Belichick.
Yeah.
It's like they're doing what they need to do. They're doing their job. And fucking he's coaching it correctly. You know, I think it's, and as good as Tom Brady is, I think that's a lot of Bill Belichick as well. The dude fucking knows how to get dudes open. He knows how to scheme against defenses. He knows what defenses are looking to do to you. He knows how they're fucking, he knows how they're trying to fake you out. He knows what looks they're trying to give you.
I think a big part of it too is that Tom Brady is also able to soak in all of that.
Yes.
And he's extremely motivated to be coached like that.
He's a sponge. And the dude, and he also has the ability to put those passes where they need to be.
Yeah. And it's a big thing too, where you don't have a player. There's not a lot of players that are that talented that they know that they are the face of the franchise that don't let that get to them. They don't act like that they're the reason that they're there.
He also,
in a way, he never really showboats.
He has
he's very in check. He keeps himself
poise,
in check.
His poise rating is like 7 million.
Yeah.
The dude does not
he
get
doesn't
shook.
Get shook. Yep.
No, not at all. I ain't shook. No, it doesn't matter if the pocket's collapsing. He knows where to put the ball. That's part of the problem, is like you can't defend against a guy who has a perfect scheme, always is going to have a guy open, and can throw the ball accurately without fucking being worried about taking a sack. It's really hard to deal with that. And even if you're a fucking team like the fucking Rams, who have a really strong offense, who probably could put up more points than the Patriots usually. I mean, it's so weird to see the Patriots defense play it so well, and it's because of Belichick.
Yeah.
It's all because of Belichick. I watched a fucking video on YouTube showed exactly what Belichick did to the fucking Rams offense. And he knew exactly how to fucking do it.
I think we watched the same one. He was talking about how
he knew exactly how to eliminate.
He would have the defense go into like a base formation.
Yes.
And then as soon as is it 20 seconds or 15?
It's all about.
Shuts off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's 15 seconds.
They would wait until the headset shut off, and then they would shift.
Yeah.
And they knew that Goff wouldn't be able to adjust.
See, and I didn't even know that after when the play clock hits 15, the headset shut off. I didn't know that. And what Belichick does is he brings up a bunch of guys to the line, makes it look like they're going to blitz, backs them off, and then moves them back up again. He's really good at the deception on defense. And it's not the players. They got good players, but it's fucking goddamn Bill Belichick. The dude is an unbelievable coach.
The other thing I was reading, you probably read it too, was that for the first 18 games, that includes the entire regular season, the game against the Chargers and the game against the Chiefs, they ran man coverage over like 80-something percent of their defensive plays.
If you can play man coverage well, then that's it.
But as soon as they got to the Super Bowl,
they switched out.
They only ran zone.
Yeah.
And they blitzed guys that were usually in coverage all the time.
See,
like, it was just, that scheme is just fucking ridiculous.
And that's why I think the Patriots didn't fucking have a spectacular, like, the thing is, like, they know how many games they need to win to get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
They know that all they need is a playoff berth. They don't need all their home games.
Nope.
They know they can win in the playoffs. And that's what Belichick did.
And he also has guys that have been there before.
Yeah. And Patriots fans talk about how many guys they fucking lost. Well, dude, it doesn't matter.
No.
It doesn't matter. Because guess which guy you didn't fucking lose? 12. Oh, number 12.
Tom Brady. Yeah, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Is still alive.
Yeah. And you also have Bill Belichick. So as long as he's around and Brady's around, the team's trouble. It doesn't matter how old either of them are. As much as I hate seeing the same fucking team win every year, it's, you know, they're just going to keep doing it. And when you think about it, it's really impressive. It's never going to be done again.
No.
What they've fucking done with that franchise. Never again.
No.
It's unbelievable.
Like, look at the Rams. Their window is gone.
Yeah.
Because they now, Aqib Talib is 33 going on 34. And Ndamukong Suh, he's going to be gone.
Yeah.
You got to pay Goff soon. You got to pay Watkins. You got to pay Cooper Kupp. You got to pay Tyler Higbee.
I think you pay Goff and Kupp. I think you definitely pay those two.
You got to pay the offensive line. And then you've also got Michael Brockers. You've got, who is the other, Marcus Peters.
Their team's all pretty young, too.
Yeah, but that's the problem, is they're all young and
rookie
they're all
contracts.
Good.
A lot of them are on, like, early contracts.
They're all young and they're all good, and everybody knows what happens to that shit. Everybody knows. You know it. I know it. Happened to the Packers, happened to Dallas.
Yeah, you know.
Everybody, you have all these guys that are great, you know, at least great for the team. You know, what the Dallas had.
One of the things I'm having an issue with is Clay Matthews. I really like Clay Matthews as a player, as a fucking person. I think he gets paid too much for the production.
And the problem too was that...
But it's also like he has great games.
I was going to say when he got that contract, it was a great contract.
Yes.
But now it's like...
When you watch him in the Super Bowl against the Steelers, he's calling plays out. He's like, hey, this is what they're going to do. He literally was telling, like, if you watch the Super Bowl DVD, there's scenes where he's telling guys what they're going to do. He knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And he creates fumbles, forces fumbles just because he knows his knowledge of the game. But where did that go? It's because he's getting State Farm. Is it because he's getting fucking State Farm commercials or some shit?
Getting complacent.
Yeah. It's like once you're making that much money, it's a guaranteed contract. Are you playing as hard as you were when you're working for that contract?
And it's a weird dynamic, at least, because the Cowboys are the Cowboys. And every player...
I mean, yeah.
Almost, obviously, yeah. But in their dynasty in the 90s, every player had their own TV show, talk show, radio station, had their own branded stuff. But it was like a part of being a Dallas Cowboy. You know, and you see...
Yeah, yeah.
Players now, since, you know, we've been young until now, they're and even Eagles players, Giants players, the same thing, because they're in such big markets. And maybe do you think it's because he plays in Green Bay and he gets all this national media exposure in such a small town?
Maybe. Yeah, I think maybe that Yeah, that might have to do with it. For
the
sure.
fact that
he feels bigger than he is.
He feels bigger than the than Green Bay.
Right.
Because you can't feel bigger than the Cowboys. Because
when you feel that big in a small town,
yes.
is what it is.
Yeah, because as a Cowboys player won't be
I
bigger
mean, imagine
than the
how,
Cowboys.
Yes,
you know what
imagine
I mean?
Like, how Aaron Rodgers feels walking around in a small town of Green
yeah.
Bay, Wisconsin. He doesn't he
constantly
could go to a fucking,
getting filleted.
Yeah, he could go to a bagel shop and fucking get his dick sucked.
Guaranteed.
You know, it's like, it's so weird. It's, it'd be like him walking around here, and we have a football stadium in the middle of the city, and he plays there. You know, it's fucking, you, there's no, I feel like that amount of fame is...
That's what I love.
It's a very concentrated...
That's what I love about the Packers, though. It's so fucking cool.
It's a very concentrated, like, fame is what it is. But that's what I like about the Packers, too, is that they're a fucking community-owned team. There's no owner.
Yeah. Because at least in Dallas, you're competing with the Mavericks, the Stars, and the Rangers.
Yeah. Every Texas team. Any team in Texas.
Yeah. And in Green Bay, nobody watches the fucking Bucks. Nobody watches the Brewers.
Not really.
In Wisconsin, it's Badgers and Packers.
Yeah. Oh, the Brewers aren't that bad. I mean, they're okay, but...
Didn't they win... They won. No, they didn't make
the
it.
The Brewers
to
went pretty far, though.
They made it to the NLCS.
I think they did get to the NLCS. They were in the playoffs, that's for sure. As far as the Angels went. But the Angels are an LA team, and you're competing with the Dodgers, so.
Just like how the White Sox are competing with the Cubs, even right. though the White Sox historically have been way better.
Yeah.
It's a Cubs town. It's very weird. The Mets and the Yankees are the same way.
Yeah.
The Yankees, well, the Yankees are better. That's not. It's not similar, really. The Yankees are way better than the Mets, but you. There's still a lot of.
There's still a lot of Mets fans.
There's still a lot of Mets fans.
Right.
There's still a lot of Jets fans too. That's got to be the most.
Yeah,
depressing
it's weird
shit.
When you focus so much on one. You got the Giants and the Jets and the fucking Bills all in New York.
New York City has got to be a crazy place to be an athlete because you probably feel so small.
And also, their media is so intense,
it's
so
fucked up. You know, Linsanity wouldn't have happened in Memphis.
Right, yeah, that's what I mean. That's...
And Melo wouldn't be as hated as he is today if he played in, like, fucking Orlando.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, in New York, you got the Yankees, the Mets, you got the Islanders, the Rangers, the Giants, Jets, the Devils.
Yeah.
You know? Then you got all the transplants. You got a lot of people that are probably Red Sox and Patriots and Bruins fans. And, what the fuck else is near New York? That's it. That's all that matters.
Yeah, more or less.
It's just, it's gotta be weird because we were born and raised in such a small town. I can't imagine having a city team.
You know
well, not
I mean?
Even that. Like, I can't imagine being famous in Oswego. Like, can you imagine how, you know, Billy Barlow feels?
That's what I mean. It's like,
and like, if it's probably like a,
and he's just a fucking mayor, dude. Think about being a fucking starting quarterback, one of the best quarterbacks in the league
of all time, arguably.
In a small town like Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
It's got to be fucking overwhelming.
Maybe that's why he doesn't talk to his family.
Danica Patrick.
Danica Patrick, Swain Hannigan. My garage with cardboard boxes.
A whole bunch of boxes. All right, we're an hour and a half in, yeah. So we'll wrap this up.
Bikes!
The bottom line is sports.
Yeah, I know. I feel so
anybody
bad.
Anybody who doesn't like sports.
So bad for people that started this first like part of this part off. Yeah. They were like, oh, cool. They're going to talk about like the culture and nature of different video games.
And
then it was
and
immediately
shit.
Sports.
This is what happens
minutes.
When alcohol and.
This is what happens when it's just us two and we're drinking, yeah. Which, you know.
It's a bad mix. But we'll see you next week. I don't know what we're going to do next week. We'll figure you. I want to talk to Cody. I would like to talk to Cody.
We had to do tonight because I'm not going to the office tomorrow.
I'm not posting this until
Saturday anyway.
Probably Saturday.
Okay, yeah. Well, we recorded this Tuesday.
Don't tell them that.
Yeah. I'm not going.
It's meta.
Well, what if something big happens between now and Friday? They're going to be like, why did they talk about this? LeBron lost his leg. Why are they talking about this?
Obama's white now.
No, but so I'm not going to be working Wednesday in the office, but that means I'm going to be working late Thursday and Friday and probably Saturday.
Yeah,
Seth
I
is
got
busy
shit to
Saturday.
Do this
Sunday,
going to
Seth
see
is
BT Bam
be
Sunday.
Seeing, Between the Barrier to Me, and I'm probably going to be working in that nursing home again. So this was the only time we could do it, but it was good. Had some whiskey, had a beer.
Right. Well, I'm glad you stuck around. I'm glad you guys stuck around. Because this is when we go off on sports usually.
We go off on sports, but it's also very organic because we're not trying to entertain. Not that there's anything against the guests.
I forgot we were on a podcast for a second,
honestly. For quite a bit of it, it just felt like we were just shooting the shit and drinking, which is really what we were doing.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know.
All right.
See ya.
That's it. We'll see you next week. ClearShotsPodcast.com is where you'll find links to everything we do. You can check us out on Twitter at ClearShotsPod. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and check us out on Periscope for live videos. If you have anything you want to ask us, send us an email at ClearShotsPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. We will see you next time.